like to call to order the December 15th, 2016 meeting of the Tiburon Design Review Board, and we'll start with roll call.
Chair Kryczynski.
Here.
Vice Chair Emberson is absent. Board Member Chong is absent. Board Member Cousins.
Here.
And Board Member Tolini.
Here.
All right. Now is a time for oral communications. If there's a person that would like to address the board on something that is not on the agenda, now is the time to do so. Okay, staff briefing.
Just one note for, as you've seen, we've been upgrading our software that connects and records our meetings so that it's easier to download off the town's website. Just to let you know, as of the first meeting in January, we'll be going live. So the people will be able to live stream our meetings as they occur. So just, you're always being recorded for posterity, but you'll also be.
Are you going to record viewing figures?
No, we have no audio, audio only, no video.
And they won't be able to ask questions, right? It'll be a listen only mode.
No, no call-in shows, no nothing.
Very good.
The other thing I would note is the regularly scheduled meeting of that would be the first meeting of January, which would be January 5th, is normally canceled due to the holidays. So the next meeting after this will be January 19th.
All right. We'll open the public hearing, and just a little order of business. The applicants will have up to 20 minutes to present their project, at which time the board can ask questions. And then it will be open to public comment, and we ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes. And then following that, the applicant will have time to come back and discuss the items that were brought up by the public. And so you all know, I think we usually, and I know I have, read all of the emails, even the late emails that came in. So we have received those. All right. First up is 65 Mercury Avenue.
Trying to suck up or anything. So, you know, I don't really
need your name for the record.
Okay. My name is Emir Kai. My wife Karen Rippenberg and I are the owners of the house at 65 Mercury in Belmoron East neighborhood. What we are proposing to do is to take our 1,000 square foot finished space square house with a 400 square foot garage, one of the original Belmoron East footprints, take that home and convert the 400 square foot garage into finished space, and to put a 500 square foot addition out the front on the left side, off the left gable. And we are asking for a variance that extends out to 9 feet 9 inches from the front property line, whereas the standard setback is 15 feet. We live next door to Margot. Margot is maybe going to come down tonight, but she's at 63 Mercury, and her house has a similar configuration extension that comes out to pretty much the exact same location. With a widened gable, so it's essentially mirroring what Margot and her family did at 63 Mercury. And besides, I guess we're converting the house from a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, which for 4 people for a family, it's kind of tight. So we're converting it to a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, and. We are taking the ridge line of the extension up to 14 feet 1 inch inclusive of the slab, and 13 feet 9 inches exclusive of the slab, so from the top of the slab up. And that is consistent with the authorized build new construction at 31 Juno across the street from us, which is directly across the street from, or across the street from the side of their house. And they have a ridge line that, well, they have that clear story that goes up to 18 feet that's set back, I don't know, 10 plus feet from the outer edge of the house, but the actual ridge line of the house goes up to about 15 feet, I'm pretty sure. And that is, because it's a side setback, even though it faces us directly, it's directly across the street from us, it's only an 8-foot setback requirement, so it's, you know, 18 feet from the street plus, you know, a couple feet back from there. But the way they have their house configured, the new build, it actually sort of comes towards that 8-foot setback. And so by the time it sort of extends down, you know, by the time it gets there, probably at 19 and a half feet, the way I've calculated it is 19 and a half feet, it's about the height of where we want to take ours. So it's what we're asking for, we feel, is consistent with the with what has been approved recently. And in terms of the garage conversion, as Dan put in the notes, his report, it extends. If we were to build a garage in the carport area, it would extend to 8 feet from the property line. So which is also consistent with a recently approved house at 20 Juno. I think something that I believe Danny Gallagher built, but the garage comes 7 feet from the extends 7 feet from the. From the property line, the garage that was built out. So that is also consistent with the recently approved house. And that's pretty much all I have, unless there's questions.
All right, we'll open it up to the public if anyone would like to speak from 35 Mercury. Seeing none, I guess we'll bring it back to the board.
Yeah, I mean, my impression when I visited the site was, as the applicant mentioned, the gable is very similar. It's in line with the gable of the adjacent property on the to the left of it, and was of a similar proportion. And so I thought it was a reasonable extension. I think if a garage was built, it would be with the other gable, it would be intrusive. So I suppose in the real terms, you know, I don't think it's a viable place to put a garage, but at the same time, I don't think it's very likely that anyone would actually build a garage there. So, and I think they've got two off-street, two parking spaces, and that's a, you know, it's something that's been done quite a lot in that area, so I wouldn't object to that.
Yeah, to me, kind of one of the ironies is that, you know, there's a garage conversion policy. And, you know, it does say effectively that, you know, you're really supposed to account for a future garage, and yet, you know, in the neighborhood where it's most commonly or most frequently applied, you know, as a general matter, there's a practice of being flexible on that requirement, specifically as the staff correctly noted. It's hard to apply that one strictly when there are, you know, so many examples of where that hasn't been applied as strictly. And I don't think it's infeasible that there could be a garage there, but I tend to agree with you that, you know, that would have to be a bridge to be crossed, you know, if and when this house ever got there. But to the applicant's point, you know, this is, you know, an original footprint house. And, you know, I also, you know, note that there is the neighbor right next to it that seems to have approximately the same extension on whether that's a bedroom or whatever that, you know, wing is, if you will. So, you know, I think this looks okay for those reasons. I guess I'll leave it at that. I would also note that just because I, wherever this is the case, I do note it because it's very helpful, is that this is an example of where the lot line is a full 10 feet off of the curb. So, you know, when you look at a property, you know, typically presume that, well, you know, the curb is the property line. And routinely, especially in this neighborhood, it's not. And so to me, it's a mitigating factor that there is an additional basically 10-foot buffer there that's, you know, off the property, presumably the Mercury Avenue right-of-way, that helps. So that, you know, from curb to house, here we're talking about, you know, not 9 feet 9, but 19 feet 9. So that's, to me, all the more helpful.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I mean, I think taking into account the undersized size of the lot and trying to do something modestly for a family, and the fact that it's just mirroring what's happening next door. I also agree with staff that the fence should be limited to 42 inches. This is a kind of an open street neighborhood, and that feel is, I think, very important. Even though there are some 6-foot fences, I think that feel is more the neighborhood. That's all I have.
Yeah, I thought on the fence issue that the higher barriers were actually hedges, you know, and there weren't that many timber fences that were solid up to 6 feet. So I think it's a good idea to cut it down. They can, if they want more privacy, I'd encourage them to go with a hedge.
Okay.
Agreed.
In respect to 65 Mercury Avenue, it's categorically exempt from CEQA, and that it's approved subject to the attached conditions.
Have a second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah. All right. 138 Stewart Drive.
You look very deserving of being able to make a comment, I'll say that. Duly noted. Thanks.
Good evening. My name is Jared Polsky. I'm here with Elizabeth, my assistant, and I am Eric DiBenedetto and Melissa Tommy's architect for the night. I hope you've all had a chance to visit the site and visit the neighbors. As you probably saw, the house at 138 Stewart is in poor condition and had a rather haphazard addition made in its past. And so our task was to make this a family home for Eric and Melissa and Melissa's three daughters. And what they wanted was a sort of soft styled contemporary expression that works well on the street and takes advantage of the views. And just so everybody understands, this proposal actually reduces the total floor area of the existing house by 69 square feet. This is not a mansion. Somebody mentioned a mansionization of Stewart Street. It's actually smaller than the existing house. And the only reason we're asking for a floor area ratio variance is that there is and will be this large understory dark space that is there, and we can't remove it. And so with this, because it's a downslope lot, this lower floor space, dark and without any view, counts, and unappealing, it counts as floor area. So the total is over the allowable, but we are not increasing the size, we're actually making it smaller. And in fact, we're proposing to build on the existing footprint. So, as you can see, there are three areas where we're making minor changes to the footprint. There's this. I think I have my own little pointer. Excuse me. We're making a slight addition right there. A slight addition right there. We're sort of filling in this gap. We're taking this off. So the only difference in the footprint is a 67 square foot addition to the footprint, whereas this and this is slightly larger than that. That's kind of, we've created a 3D digital model of the house, and I thought I'd show you some views. This is, and the floor plan, this is the lower floor, pretty much as it is now. We're sort of cleaning up, fixing up, putting the windows and doors. This is the main floor of the house, the living area. What we're proposing to do is take out this mat, what is now a master bedroom, and make it one large living area. And the deck, it will be rebuilt within the same place as the existing deck. And right now, there's a stair that goes down and then goes back up, and there's a story above the garage that extends this way. And what we're proposing to do is take off the stair that goes down and take off the addition above the garage and put a new second story over here. This is the new second story. So we've taken off the space that was here, we've added the space that's here. And there's the house, and these are the surrounding neighbors, just so you can get a sense when you hear their address.
Oops.
This is the elevation of the existing house, and this is the elevation of the proposed house. So you can see what we're really doing is opening up the view across the existing garage and adding this space here. And it's really hard to show story poles of something coming out. Garage, but as one of the neighbors noted, this is really helping his view when he's here. So this is as if we're driving up the street, so that we're taking off this mass here and adding a second story on this side. There. This is the front of the house. Again, what we're proposing to do is a very soft gray palette, light color stucco and soft gray stained cedar, a new fence, landscaping in the front yard. And this is looking down the street. And from the back, this is the essentially where the existing deck is now. This is the existing lower floor. We are making an addition right there. We're bumping this out a little bit because that's where the master bedroom is now. And the new bedroom is upstairs. Oops. You can see we're taking away this. There's the house next door. And I just want to be clear that we're proposing to have that the roof of the new garage, the flat roof of the garage, will be as mean as well as the roof at the front, right? That. This will also be a planted roof. When I say green roof, it's planted roof. you can see the green roof looking down on the house from above. So this is green roof, and this is green roof. And this is the solar panels for the photovoltaic panels. And you'll see them. This is the landscape plan. Our landscape architect, Pete Peterson, is here tonight to discuss that. We've met with the neighbors last, we had an open house last night, only two neighbors were able to attend, but we met with David at 135, Stuart across the street, and with Carol at 142. They both seemed to be very happy and receptive with our design. And I'm here to answer any other questions that you might have. One thing I do want to point out is I didn't get into the house at 111 Sonora Court, but I did drive up and see what best I could see. And when you drive next to the front door of Sonora, 11 Sonora Court, you can see they have a large terrace. And you can see the story poles We're not proposing an invisible house, but those story poles seem to take out a tiny, tiny portion of the front of the foreshore. They're not taking out the horizon or the far shore. And what you don't see is what we're giving back. So we're taking some away and adding some.
How big will be a handsome addition to the streetscape?
I think if it's scaled appropriately, it sort of steps up the hill as one would hope. I think the materials are soft and inviting. It tends to design as handsome as it's selected by the neighbors. And I'm here to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Thank you.
I'm Teresa Arena from 11 Sonora Court, and I believe I submitted my letter. First of all, let me say that I never got an invitation for an open house yesterday, so I'm not sure who you reached out to. Okay. So, no invitation. Secondly, this whole configuration would really, really impact my water view, some of my mountain views from my living room, master bedroom, and veranda. And, you know, there are plenty of homes in Tiburon or Belvedere or Mill Valley that you could buy which would have enough square footage or where you wouldn't impact somebody's view and detract from the value of their property to enhance yourself and your home. I feel like it's not a fair thing to come in and put an obstruction because that's good for you, not realizing collectively or realizing collectively, but who cares? That you're really impacting people, and people who buy these properties for the view that is there. If you start taking chunks of views from somebody, somebody takes one chunk, somebody else takes another chunk, and guess what? Pretty soon, it's really altered from what you've originally bought. And that's not fair, it's not right, it detracts from people's property value. You know, not only the beauty, but really the asset. And nobody can come into your home and steal from you. And it kind of is this way. So I hope you consider leaving it as it is. We had a lovely, lovely remodel recently. They didn't do anything. They tore it down to the studs. It looks wonderful. Happy as can be, I am. Because every time that happens, guess what? Our neighborhood value goes up. It's wonderful to have people that really care. It's not wonderful to have people that come in and obstruct your view with a box. Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, board members and staff. I'm Audrey Fancy. My husband and I own 571 Virginia Drive, located just below this property at the southwest corner. I will note that none of these designs seem to indicate any views from Virginia Drive, and I believe other neighbors from our street are here, as well as some submitting comments. And I would also note that we were not invited to the open house, nor were our requests to contact the owners responded to. I do want to note that we have a very modest home. Our home is only 1,400 square foot. We have a family of four, and it does fit our needs. It provides privacy and views. It's a great location. Reed Heights, Tiburon Knolls is a wonderful community. Many people are here tonight. We get together often for community gatherings. We have a directory. We have an emergency response system in storms such as this for if things were to happen. And we also want to note that we know you have challenges trying to modernize our community, but we want you to consider the implications of this design on properties such as ours. We submitted written comments on December 11th, and we ask you to consider our entire letter. I would like to make a few points that we raised. First, and I will say this as a layperson who does not understand the plans at all, it appears to me that this design does not adhere to the CCNRs of our neighborhood, which I will quote, say, no building shall exceed 22 feet in overall height, and no structure shall be erected in a manner to encroach upon a reasonable view from other lots. A lot of that does not apply to us in Virginia. We're below, but I know many of our neighbors up the hill, that really is a huge impact. We'd ask that they would consider the privacy impact of this design on those below them. Currently, our master bedroom can see them when they're on their deck, but otherwise, we have complete privacy. Moving the second level on the other side of the house will produce a structure that is going to appear in our master bedroom. It's going to require us to close that window at all times. It'll get rid of the Mount Tam view, and we believe it'll also impede on our master bath and our backyard, which currently, because of current foliage and trees, I don't think any neighbors can see into. We also know that our neighbors at 567 submitted some pretty detailed plans about some concerns about the design, and we, once again, don't understand a lot of that, but we respectfully ask the board to ask the owners to explore those issues and consider the impact on those on Virginia. And so we are asking you to reject this design and ask the owners to please work with neighbors. It was very disheartening when we emailed their real estate agent and asked you to put in contact to talk to them the moment this was published in the ARC, and to get no response and to have them not reach out to us is disconcerting. So we thank you for your consideration and attention to these plans and the concerns raised by us and our neighbors tonight.
Hi, my name is Bernie Curley. I live at 8 Sonora Court, which is right across the street from their property. We've lived there for 35 years plus. It's a great neighborhood. We love it. We've had a lot of neighbors throughout. Our homeowners association has 160 people in it, 160 homes, myself included. We've done a lot of work over the years to create what we have, and we're very proud of it. We've done a great job, I think. Having said all that, I'm not upset with somebody coming in, doing a tear down, doing a major remodel. That's okay, I can go with that. Okay, but my problem here is I am a licensed real estate broker. I've been doing it for many, many years. I've been dealing with these situations, so I kind of have an idea what's going on. My problem is that there is a 22-foot height limit there, right in our area of Reed Heights, and we're looking at 28 to 30 feet. What I would like to see, number one, why does that bother me? I'll tell you why it bothers me, because I have a lot of friends in the neighborhood who are thinking of doing little things to their properties, and they're saying, you know, I don't know if I can do it, or this guy here is going to come up with another 5 feet, 6 feet, so it creates a lot of chaos. So if we have a 22-foot limit, I would hope, and I'm sure they're really nice people, they mean well, they come in, and they have some good ideas. And I like that. I like that. But what I would like to see is, I would like to see maybe a remodification to bring some of the height down, because we're going, it's a big jump, 8 to 10 feet. Not just for me. I hear it from a lot of people that they're not happy with this. But I do like the idea of a new property, new owners, et cetera. And the other thing with the 22-foot limit, okay, if we open the floodgate doors here, we will have a lot of people coming into our area and say, hey, the CCNRs don't count. Planning doesn't care about limits on 22 feet. And that would be a possibility. This could happen. You know, CCNRs are more than the covenants, conditions, and restrictions are more than just print on paper. They actually mean something. And, you know, I have a copy of it, which I'll lead with you. And of our CCNRs for the whole area. It's very easy reading. And this, it's only three pages pertaining to what they would like to do. But I think that really, I want to find a solution. I want to make it work. I want these people to be happy, and I want everybody else to be happy. And I think it could be done. I mean, in life, how many times do we get everything we ask for? Not too often for me, not just in real estate, I'll tell you, in life in general. So I think coming in, whoever represented them, you know, more than likely, I hope that they read the CCNRs before they decided to do this, because it's point blank, it's in big print, it's number one on our CCNRs, 22-foot height limit. And I don't know if that took place, or maybe they're not even aware of that, or maybe nobody even talked about it. And I've gone through this numerous times. People come in, I don't do it because I make sure that I try to do everything right. I don't want callbacks when I do a property with somebody. Oh, why didn't you tell me that? I didn't know that. I didn't read it. And all of a sudden, and there's a lot of problems after the fact. So evidently, I'm not blaming anybody, but now we're trying to circle the wagons and make it work after, I don't know if these people were aware that there was a 22-foot limit there, but I would hope that we can find a solution. And I want to make everybody happy, and I don't know how we can do that. But it's going to take a modification from these people. It's their first shot at it, so they, in this area, I don't know about other areas, so they could possibly, you know, let's work together on this. Let's create what a lot of us have created in that neighborhood for 35, 40, 45 years, and we can keep it going. You know, there are 149 other homes in there. Okay, that's all right. Well, I hope I'm getting my point across. Can I leave you with a copy of this?
You know, someone emailed them to us.
Just before we continue, can I ask a question? Can I? This comes up from time to time. There are neighborhoods with covenants that run with the land and whatnot, right? Can you, as simply as possible, just kind of remind us what our role is? I mean, obviously the CCNRs are, it's a private contract to be privately enforced, and if they need to be privately litigated. And could you just, I guess.
I would confirm that they are not town regulations that that we are able to enforce. It's informational as far as the town goes. As far as a covenant between property owners, that's something between the property owners to enforce.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, good evening. My name is Jerome Chin. My wife and I, we live at 145 Stewart Drive, right across the street from the proposed project. My wife and I just completed a three-year remodel of our house, and as you all are aware, we did not change the size, the footprint, the roof line of our house, purposely not to obstruct anybody's view in the neighborhood and to create harmony. We object to the proposed plans for this house. The second floor will be compromising our view of the foreshore and the trail of Richardson Bay from our front landing and our front deck. Agree with the neighbors in Sonora Court that the second story is creating an obstruction that is not good for many of us, and I think it's setting a precedent for the other three houses running down that street to do the same in the future, which would create a domino effect and obstruct the entire foreshore for most of us. So I think the architects and the owners should consider redesigning their proposed second floor.
Good evening. My name is Carol Korenbrot, and I live in the house next to the property in question, on the house that is shown at approximately the same height. This is a very intimate relationship with our next door neighbors, because we can hear just about anything outside, and there are many things that we have to consider when people change their homes. And Melissa made herself available to me when she first moved in, even before she moved in, when she was about to consider a roof change on the house strictly. And we started talking then. and it, this has been very well handled, and I am very impressed with how modest they have been about this addition. There are many ways in which they could have impacted our life, and they were very careful not to. This is in the largely in its original footprint. I have been inside the house. It is a very awkward room that is put over the garage, not connected to the house, not useful. You couldn't see how you could make a regular home out of this with an attached room that was so large off of a garage. And we live in relationship to the people who are below us on Virginia Drive and to the home across the street, which has just been remodeled, as was said. And it was a major change and a beautiful home added to that, our neighborhood. And the modernization is very appreciated by those of us who look at the home. And we feel that this is being done very professionally and to a very high code in that appreciation of a very modernized house that fits in the neighborhood with a very modest scale. And in relationship to our neighbors on Virginia Drive, it is always an issue of what we can look into in their home and what we don't look into in their home. And we have found that bushes can be largely grown to protect both ways, because whenever you can see down, you can see up. And so we have just grown bushes wherever necessary by talking to our neighbors below us on Virginia Drive and managing the easement space between us. I think, as was said, if they sit down together and start talking, the Mount Tam view can be saved for you all. And but with bushes, you can keep privacy to the master bedroom of the Virginia Drive house below. So I just feel that I find the owners of this and the plans for this to be something that I'm sure the rest of the neighbors could benefit by working with them, because they're very workable professionals and the owners of the home. Thank
you. Hi, I'm Robert Aronoff with 11 Sonora Court also. I thought I just would add a few final comments if I could. You know, nice design, I'm sure nice family, you know, no arguments there at all. The issue is pretty simple. Yeah, it's nice to modernize the house. You can do it in the same footprint and like our neighbors did, and do it in a way that does not obstruct anybody else's view and still makes it a nice, livable, modern home. All those nice things that were just said by the neighbor and friend would still be true without building up, obstructing many families' views, changing their footprint. I'm sure it's great for the guy across the street who gets his view back, but that's not what the rest of the neighborhood signed up for when we paid the exorbitant prices to live in a beautiful community. And I would like to echo the race to the top, because then we'll come in asking for going another 8 feet up, and the guy up the hill will start arguing. I mean, this is a race to the bottom. It is inappropriate. It's something that shouldn't be allowed, and hopefully you guys will make the right decision. Thank you.
My name is Raul Haga. My name is Rao Nagar. My wife is Lakshmi. We live down in Virginia Drive, just below this subject property. I believe when I see the flag posts and poles and all that, we can see widely. I just want to make sure that it doesn't affect our privacy when they look from the deck that they are building, and also the windows, and also from the sides. So I believe they have taken precautions. So they are constructing such a way that it will not affect our privacy. That's it. Thank you.
My name is David Haynes. David Haynes, I live directly across at 135 Stewart. And I'm going to take a different position than my neighbors have at the risk of offending them and tell you that when I saw the design and reviewed it last night and spoke to Melissa, not only am I delighted by the design of the home, but I'm going to actually get a view now I didn't have before, right above the garage, straight down to the water. And when I look to the left, the addition that's going up 4 or 5 feet, to me, it doesn't really block anything that I'm terribly concerned with. There's a tree, actually, that comes up. So it actually is below the roof line of the home next door, 142. So to me, it's right there. Now, I can't speak for the people up at the hill who indicate, like Teresa and others have indicated, and Susie, that it affects their view of looking down at the water. But I, for one, don't sit in my room and look out that window, and I don't honestly care, you know, what's done. What I care about is the aesthetic of the home and what it reflects to the neighborhood. I think the design is beautiful. I like the idea of the green on the roof. Everything about it appeals to me. Now, am I happy about the fact that for the next year there's going to be construction going on? No, I'm not. Does that bother me enough to want to say I disapprove and I'd rather not support this? No, not at all. I fully support the changes to the house. I respectfully will say that if modifications can be made to accommodate the neighbors who are more affected apparently than I must be, then I think that should be taken into consideration. But I'm the most affected by the changes. And I can tell you point blank that I really think they're de minimis in the scheme of things from actually Gordon, you were in my house today, you were able to take a look and see what I was telling you, right? I mean, when I look over there, I see a tree, and then I see a little bit of an elevation with the story pole, and I go, you know, it doesn't really block anything directly for me. So I fully support it, and I'm behind it. Any questions? Come after me.
Peterson, the landscape architect for the project. It's terrific. These CCNRs were included in the late mail packet. I think it's really helpful. It's really helpful to read the fine print in that note that unit 2, certain lots are limited to 22 feet building height. We're in unit 4, which is a different part of the subdivision. So that 22 feet really doesn't apply to this parcel. Thank you.
You all understand our proposal. I just want to make note that Tiburon is pretty clear in their view ordinance of what a view ordinance is about. You know, major view blockage, horizon, far shore from major rooms in the house. We're not making an argument that there's absolutely no view blockage at all. There is a very tiny bit of the near shore from a couple of houses that may be blocked. I think you'll get about the same amount back with the rest of the with the garage roof removal, but it really doesn't rise to the level of view blockage as noted in the codes in the city. So I'd just like to make that point. Thank you.
All right. We'll get back to the board. You want to start?
Yeah. Okay. I think this, as the staff report says, this the amount of remodeling on this property is so substantial that this should be treated as a new build, and so I've based my comments basically on from that standpoint. I think to call the lower floor a basement is a bit of a stretch. There's hardly any of it that's dug into the hillside at all. In fact, most of the front of it is like 4 or 5 feet above ground level, grade at the front of the house. So when you get down, looking back up the hill from below, it's a 3.5-story house, and it's the full 30 feet, and it doesn't come anywhere near complying with the hillside design guidelines. So, you know, the difference between the current ridge line coming up to 14 feet, I think 117, you've got it as the maximum, to replace that with a full third floor, which is 5 feet higher than the ridge, is a huge increase in the mass of the building. And although it has, you know, I think it's a very attractive building, and I like the materials and the style, the design of it. And from the street, you don't recognize it as being as particularly tall or obstructive. But when you go down the other side and look back up the hill, it's massive. And so, you know, I wouldn't contemplate the variance for having anything more than the FAR. So if you want to go with this approach, I think for me it would have to be a smaller house. It's got to come down within the FAR. But I still think it doesn't meet the requirements of the design guidelines in the fact that it's too, you know, it's a 3.5-story building. So I think that second, the top floor, the third floor, is too large.
I tend to agree that the elevation from the project, I forget my directions, I think it's Project West.
Yeah, west elevation.
Right. To me, I actually thought that it, you know, looks worse on paper, so to speak, since you're looking at it, you know, flat. And that, you know, it is terraced some. And, you know, the large deck that's there, I think, you know, roughly tracks the deck that's there now. So the upper floor from below, I guess, didn't bother me as much. Although at the same time, you know, it's a little harder to envision just, you know, what it's going to look like when it's built and with the terraces as well. As a general matter, I'm relatively torn, I guess you could say. I think that the changes to the view are not insignificant, yet at the same time, some of them are relatively insignificant. I mean, certainly there is a change. I actually agree with the comment that, I think the most affected residence is 135 from the uphill side, and I think from that perspective, you know, there's a fairly positive change there. I didn't see the other changes from uphill as being as significant. I am struggling with, at the same time, the fact that, you know, the upper story is certainly growing in mass, and it will be seen. And there is an issue of setting some precedent there. I am sensitive about that. In looking at the plate heights and doing the math, I think that it's, just to settle, I guess, the math, it looks like to me about a 4.5-foot increase overall from the existing, but, you know, obviously some of that is ridge height, and that's just not going to look as substantial from most perspectives. On the CCNRs, the reality is the existing home measured from grade is 28 feet. that's an existing non-conforming with the CCNRs or not is not something I, you know, care to speak to, but, you know, it is the case certainly now that, you know, the home certainly exceeds 22 and a half feet, depending on how it's measured. It's approximately 28 feet. So, I guess I'd be curious to see, you know, your take, John, and where you came out.
On the maths, the floor level of the second floor has gone up by 2 feet 8 inches, and then the existing high point was 117 feet, according to this, and the new high point is 122, so it's gone up by 6 feet. But it's over the whole width of the building. You know, the eaves have gone up much more than that. They've gone up, you know. The eave height here was 108, so it's gone up to 122, so it's gone up 14 feet.
No, and that's, we came across a similar issue on Apollo,
yeah.
Right, where we're talking a lot about, you know, a flat roof and eave heights compared to ridge height. And
but I think that the things that worry me are the building sections on sheet 3.1, where the whole building is pushing the 30-foot height limit, and this is a new build.
Yeah, I had a similar reaction to what it would look like from what it would feel like from Virginia. It is like 3.5 stories, even though it is stepped back. And I think trying to fit into this neighborhood and do a contemporary design where it is a flat roof instead of having some slope to it, and taking the plate heights for the rooms up as much as they are, and then and if worried about trying to swap views, I mean, I can understand why they want to put second story over the living space instead of over the garage and take the garage down. I can understand that. And I couldn't really tell how much that swapped out. But the other thing was, I like the architecture, I think, by itself, looking at it, I like it. But you know that when you're talking about view blockage, and you've got this one major mass in the middle of the building that's totally for dramatic effect in the entry. I mean, you need some of it. You know, you need some to get the stairs up, but to take it up as high as it is and as much as it is just an architectural feature. And I don't think that's sensitive to the neighbors and the view. I am, even though it's stepped back, it's really hard to tell, but I'm still worried about the master bedroom deck looming over the neighbors. I think, as Juan pointed out, you can, the lower deck, as now, can be handled with shrubbery and screening. But when you get that high up there, I don't think they'll ever screen.
One other thing I was kind of curious about is, and John, I think your point about, you know, the higher roof height and plate height above the steps for dramatic effect is well taken. Related to that, I was, I guess, just wondering what your thoughts were on the glazing of that area, or the glazing in the upper story of from the east elevation. Sorry, just the glazing on the front and the second story, basically.
Um,
Right, that's the larger of the two.
Yeah. And so it kind of goes with the whole talk about the volume.
Fair
enough. That piece of it.
Okay.
Any other comments? So would we, let's continue? Yeah, I don't, let's discuss the second story element. I mean, they have a second story, albeit kind of a minimalist one, and there are many two-story buildings in the area. So
I think commercially what I think we try to address was that mass and possibly an uphill downhill sort of more of a concern with the view from below versus the view line
from my point of view. It's not so much the effect on the from the street above. It's the overall mass of the house relative to the from below, and the fact that it's all 30 feet tall. I mean the second, and it's a three-story house. It's wrong to call this top story the second story. It's the third story. It's you enter on the second floor and go down to the ground floor, and then you go up. So it's, but it was, eaves height at 6 feet, and now it's an eaves height of 15 feet, plus they've increased the floor level, so it's the whole building has just got much more, the volume of the building has gone up tremendously.
In terms, if we're looking at a continuance, as we noted, the January 5th meeting is going to be canceled. The next available meeting would be January 19th. We had this basically send out the notices for that today because of the deadlines for the local newspaper. So at this point, we'd be looking at the February 2nd Design Review Board meeting. If you wouldn't mind just speaking to the microphone,
yeah.
Thanks.
I would appreciate a slightly more direct. Gordon, it sounds like you'd rather see a two-story house, and that we could call the what we're calling basement the main floor. That's obviously that doesn't make any sense for my clients. You can't see anything; it's dark, and it may not be. It is.
It's dark. It's got that huge deck over it.
Well, that huge deck is the outdoor living area for this whole house.
There are lots of houses that are just the same as this one, all over Tiburon, that aren't 30 feet high.
Well, so my question to you is this. It is pretty difficult to remove that lower floor. It's and the main level is at the street, is actually below the street level. So it makes sense that the main level would stay at the level it is now. So the question I have is, we can minimize it. We can make the upper floor smaller. We can lower it slightly. We can lower the stairwell, the architectural feature, as John mentioned. We can do that. But if you're what you're saying is we can't go up, we can't have a bedroom level above the main level. Well, that's we need to know that because clearly the lower floor is not going to act as the bedroom level. It's if you've been down there, it's suboptimal. Put it that way. So what I would need is some direction. I've heard that it looks nice from the street. It's the view blockage from the uphill neighbors is really not a major issue. It's possibly privacy concerns from the upper floor. But we can take that deck off the second floor, put a roof there, so you can't go up there and look down. The decks that are there now on the main floor and the lower floor have been there for 40 years. They're the same decks. So really the question I would have is, Is a question of height and lowering some plates and lowering things, we can certainly do that. If there's a question of the upper floor deck, we can do that. If there's a question of you can't have a third floor, or what you're calling a third floor, then we need to know that.
I wouldn't rule it out altogether. I think it just needs to be smaller. And I think taking away the deck or reducing the size of the deck would be good too.
So if we can make it smaller and slightly lower and reduce that deck to make it a roof, that's something that this board might accept.
Yes.
That's what I
agree.
And I would suggest doing a little analysis, because I'd be curious about it, of what, for the uphill neighbors, what view is gained and what view is lost.
Yeah, and so I would hope that we could visit 11 Sonora Court and take a picture, and we could visit the 45 Sonora Court on the corner and take a picture and see. It's pretty hard to see what you're going to see when something comes out, but we could probably make some.
I mean, I went to both those properties, and you know, the view, it's not so much, in my mind, it's not the view so much from above, looking down. You were taking out water views and small parts of water views. It was really the mass of the building from looking up.
Well, we can certainly study that, and we could visit the neighbors below. Because I think if I were living below, I wouldn't want people looking down on me. But what they're worried about in the story poles, and the gentleman mentioned, is it going to cause privacy concerns, is the top of the roof of the third story. Well, obviously, that's not a privacy concern, nobody standing on top of the roof. But it looks like it because you see those flags. So maybe we can deal with that more effectively.
The late mail that we received, that has a lot of contact information for the neighbors, so you may be able to use that to contact them. And we can encourage that.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So with respect to find the address, 138 Stewart Drive, that it's continued to the February the 2nd meeting.
Have a second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you all. All right, we have 262 Cecilia. Excuse me.
Can you just ask everyone who is here for Stuart to just exit quietly? We're still having a meeting.
Ma'am?
Thanks.
Ma'am? Hey, ma'am? Can you take that out? We have more meeting to conduct here.
Good evening. Place to yourself.
My name is Jesus Velasquez. I'm the project manager for this project. So the proposed, it's to expand the master bedroom closet.
Hang on. Could you actually do it outside?
Can you take that outside, please?
In the rain,
preferably. In Dan's 20 years of service, he's also been a bouncer.
Yeah. Okay. Okay,
so
sorry about that.
That's okay. So the proposed is to expand the master closet into the garage 7 feet, which would make the garage not a garage anymore, but it's not like it was used as a garage anyways, because it's really small. And the exterior of the house is not going to be changed at all. It's not going to have any change. And there's plenty of parking space. The driveway will have one parking space. And the street will have two, well, one. But it's pretty long space. So it will fit two cars properly, and it's in the Bel Air neighborhood, which has plenty of parking space there.
Okay.
Thank you. Dan, do you want to say something?
All right.
Uh, I will start. I thought this looks okay. You know, I think that obviously from the outside, you know, there's certainly not going to be any perceptible change. So that's certainly easy to support. I mean, obviously, you know, the concern of being, you know, losing an indoor parking space really loses a lot of its luster when, as is frequently the case, you know, in the smaller footprint homes, that's not used for parking currently, especially a single car garage. That's even for people with lots of extra space. That's sometimes a tall order just to even, you know, keep that clear and use that for parking. So I think to the gentleman's point, it's, you know, not used as a parking spot currently, so this doesn't change anything from that perspective. I don't think I had anything else to note.
No, I didn't either. This seemed, you know, relatively straightforward. You could actually probably park a Mini in that, what's left of the garage, if you have, or a smart car. So we're not losing it altogether. But I think in this neighborhood, you know, we've dealt with this many times where the garages have been converted. You know, I think this is a, I don't have any objection to this.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's leaving a lot of storage space obviously, you know, mitigates a lot of, certainly one of the concerns we usually have about where is the storage coming back. So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, some of these garages like this one are so small, and even the garage doors, you know, the height is not really conducive to like an SUV. It has to be a small car. And I think it's wise that they left the storage because that's what they need and they use it for, and that's what it's used for now. So I agree.
Okay. So with respect to 262 Cecilia Way, that it's categorically exempt from CEQA, and that we approve it subject to the attached conditions.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Guys, have time to review the minutes?
I can't wait.
You got one?
I do.
Oh.
This is the last paragraph. I must have lost my mind. I think you may need an interpreter. It's the last page 11. Oh, there's lots of them. He said that the one-story additions to the neighborhood are much more beautiful. I never said that. That doesn't sound like something I would say at all. I think the whole thing, the first sentence, Paul Mason Cousins stated the second story should have a lower plate height in order to prevent them from becoming too large. I agree with that. I think what I said was that recent single-story schemes enabled applicants to have higher ceiling heights. A two-story scheme would need to have 8-foot plate heights to fit in with the neighborhood. That's what I think.
Sounds very detailed and well contemplated.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? What I meant to say, anyway.
Well, yeah, it's intended to reflect what was said rather than what it.
No, I think that's what I said. I was looking for it, and I said, because he was looking for direction, and I said, you know, if you have a single story, you can have higher plate heights and higher ceilings. If you have a two story, you're going to have low ceiling heights. That was it.
All right.
Yeah, that was a long meeting.
I have one.
Yes.
When you're ready.
What page, please?
5.
Mm-hmm.
Second paragraph. Second sentence. He said that there were discrepancies in the story poles and that the survey did not cite the structure on the lot. It says correctly. And it didn't show it at all. So
oh, okay.
Just take out correctly.
All right. Right.
That's all I have.
Michael? I have no comments.
Okay, so
therefore make a motion that we approve the minutes of meeting number 19, subject to the comment.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.